desce. Yeah, yeah. Sobe, sobe. Yeah, yeah.
When you logged onto this podcast, I thought either A, you were going to look like I'm just about to go to sleep. Like I've been fighting jet lag and I finally started to get tired and now we got the podcast. That's what I thought.
No. That can never happen, man. I'm wide awake, bro.
First of all, tell the people where you are. Welcome to the Jason and OC podcast. OC, where are you in the world?
Japão. It's not Japan. You know, the Portuguese, well, not Portuguese. Well, the Portuguese say Japão. That's how they call it. So I'm in Japão.
Can you show us a view?
Can you show us a quick view?
Yeah, I want to see it. Oh, that's dope. For those who can't see. Yeah.
Can you see?
It looks good. I see. It looks great.
You like it? Yeah. Thank you, J-Bro. Thank you. How you doing, bro?
I'm doing good, man. Just out here chilling, man. Enjoying last couple of days in L.A. before I head back.
What time is it where you are? How about that? What time is it?
4:04 in the afternoon.
4:04 in the afternoon. Okay.
Yep. And then
what day is it? What day?
It is Wednesday. What day is it for you?
That's crazy. So it is 8:05 on Thursday in Japan. I'm literally I'm on a different day. We're not even on the same day, Jaybird.
Hey, bro, we need to give ourselves a round of applause.
A round of applause.
Because the dedication it took, first of all, shout out to producer Simon, our guy. It's 11 at night for him, making it happen.
Wow, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's crazy. I think he's going to the club afterwards, so I don't even
yeah.
think.
Yeah, definitely.
I think he's out. Well, it's 12 really for him. Yeah. I think he's about to hit the street. So
okay, I like that. As soon as this is over, I'm gonna go hit a workout, J Bell. But you know what I realized yesterday?
Tell me.
I'm gonna tell you some interesting stuff. So I came here, and as you know, it was a 14-hour flight to get here. 14-hour flight, right?
Right.
So I come here, and on the plane, I usually go crazy on the plane. It's like I'm just eating all kinds of everything. I just go crazy. And I had my gummies, you know, the hand grubby gummies. I had all that, right? So I come here on the plane. I've eaten so much food. And I come straight in here and I go to the bathroom, J-Bell. And I didn't know that there's a button that you can press here. And it does a little something, something.
Little something, something. Girl, you're gonna pay me no attention.
Look at you. You know what I'm talking about. You know the button.
As soon as you said a little something, something, I said, oh, it gets a little warm, and then you get a little, oh.
What is it?
What is that? Dude. Hey, remember that song, Omarion? Remember that Omarion song? Doom, doom, doom.
Yo!
Oh, God.
What?
We need help. Oh, God. I'm over here sweating.
But it's nice, though. I mean, beautiful place. Beautiful. Whoa! Hold on. Hold up.
Did you feel clean?
Extremely. Extremely. I said, oh, what? But why don't they have that everywhere else? Like
Japanese technology, especially when it comes to using the toilet in your private settings, is spectacular. The seat warm, too. The seat warm.
It's like warm. Everything is so comfortable. And it's like, This is different, bro. Different. It is.
You know what? First class experience, OC.
Yeah. First class, for sure.
That being said, first class experience. Do you think the World Cup was a first class experience for you? Because
for me, I was locked in.
Me and my mom's loving it. Good time. And I thought, I wonder if my man OC is knee deep in it and how is he feeling?
Damn sure was, man. And I loved every second of it, J-Bell. I absolutely adored it. First of all, as you know, I wanted Argentina to get their brains beat in, right? Like, I wanted that to happen. Yeah. So that happened. But more importantly, I think it was the way in which it happened. You know? Spain was so superior. They were so much better than Argentina. Like, it's like they were playing two different games. And sometimes when you see that, you can get angry. You can say, oh, this was a bad game. This was terrible. Or you can simply marvel at the fact that you have two of supposedly the best teams in football, and one of them completely annihilates the other. The score was 1-0. That was the score. Could have been 5-6-0, right?
Yeah.
They completely dominated that game from start to finish. Possession, attack. It was like watching men playing against children, right? That's what it looked like. That's what it looked like to me. It looked like these were two completely different teams playing. And then at the end, what did Argentina do? They got mad. They said, okay, we're going to stop fighting. We're going to fight. Right? That's what we're going to do. We're going to fight because we've been outclassed on the pitch.
We're going to win this fight.
Amazing performance by Spain. Now, and another reason why I like it is because, you know, Portugal, which was the team that I wanted to win, you know, they played against Spain, and Spain just stifled them. And people were like, oh, my God. Oh, Portugal is horrible, blah, 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 blah. Then Spain played against France. They stifled France. France had the best attack in football. They had Dembele. Mm-hmm. They had Mbappe. They had Olise. They had these great players nowhere to be found, right? when they were playing against Spain. So now you come up against Argentina, who had done all this nonsense to get to the finals, and then they just got put firmly in their place. I really appreciated that game.
As a true sportsman, I want to ask you this. When I'm watching a game, and obviously, you know, I'm not a fan like you are as year-round long in the game of football. But I come in, I mean, you're like, you knew about every team before the World Cup happened. I had to catch up. So I'm catching up, figuring out the tactics. What is their identity? And when I'm watching this game, I'm like, oh my goodness. I'm looking at Spain, and it felt like they weaponized self-control.
Okay,
because think of Argentina's tactics, right? And how they like to do certain things. They never allowed that to happen because of, obviously, their skill, ball control, right?
Mm-hmm.
Touch, pass quickly, you know, you can't even get into those situations. How they responded to any adversity, well, anything that Argentina was doing trying to get them off of their game. Now you have to have the skills to do it. But when I'm watching, I'm thinking, you know, we can learn something as people just watching this game. That when you know a person or a situation, the tactic is going to be to throw you off mentally, frustrate you. You have to be in control of yourself to not let that happen, to then use your skills to continue to play your game. It's just like in life. Like, I mean, imagine you're in a meeting and somebody on the other side is just trying to throw you off your game. You know all your information. You know what to do. But yet you let your emotions get caught up in their game and what they're trying to do. You have to contain that self-control to be able to tap into your resources. So when I was watching that game, I was like, the skill is there. I mean, it's phenomenal. But they're so aware of who they are and what they're trying to achieve that they are not letting the opponent's tactics and ability knock them off.
I love you said that, man. And it brings me to a point, right? So it was the semifinal, and Spain is they're about to play against France, right? And before the game, because France had been so rampant in their attack, they were so good. They were scoring so many goals. Everybody was talking about France. And then Yamin Lamal, who's a great player, young player for Spain, before the game, he said something. And at first, when he said it, I was like, you know, you're kind of caught off of guard by this young guy saying something. He was like, we're not worried about France. If anything, they need to be worried about us. Like, we're not concerned about them. I was like, whoa, hold on now. Hold on. But then when you do your research, you find that France had lost to Spain. They hadn't beaten Spain in 10 games. Right? 10 straight games.
They should have been scared of them.
Right? You understand what I mean? Spain is, I think now they're unbeaten in like, it's like 30, it might even be 40 straight games. They haven't lost. Right? So they have a system of play. They have a way that they play, right? That it's so ingrained in them. Like, they understand, just like you were saying, they understand exactly how they're going to play, and nothing is going to get them off of their game. This stuff works. This tactic works. They're going to keep doing it. And to me, it was just a phenomenal performance by them. I loved watching that game, J-Bell. Loved it.
I loved it too, man. And it's sometimes I feel like we find a way to find the silver lining, the best of everything. But when I watched it, I was like, man, World Cup, world stage, all kind of stuff going on. You don't even have to be a fan of sports. Major life lessons if you're watching this game. Not saying one way is right, one way is wrong, but what you do well, be aware of that. Steady your ship, do your thing, and go out there and worry about what you can control. We always talk about that, and that is exactly what we saw on the World Cup on that stage, and I thought it was phenomenal.
Amazing. I got something for you though, J-Bell.
Tell me, bro.
Actually, I have two things.
Tell me.
Two things. The first one that I want you to think about is something that occurred to me just literally a couple of days ago. I was on my walk. I was doing my little walks, and a thought occurred to me. You have to follow me here because it's going to take like some mental gymnastics, but follow me. Okay. Right?
I'm locked in.
Everything that could possibly exist in this world, right, already exists. It's just a matter of us imagining it. So here's what I mean by that. When you think about the Stone Ages, right? When you think about all the things that we didn't have thousands of years ago, right? And you think about even this phone or these computers and all these things that we have now, right? The materials to make them didn't come from Mars.
No.
Do you understand what I'm trying to say? The materials to make them were always, they were always here. They were always on Earth, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So the only thing that happened is imagination. It just compounded, intelligence, compounding. Mm-hmm. But everything was already, it's already here.
Yeah.
So everything that's happening now, all these things that we're making, all these advances, all those tools, everything is already on Earth. So we're limited by our imagination. So as we think and as we get more and more information and it just compounds and compounds and compounds, that's how all these new things are being created. But it's not like the materials are coming from outer space. They're already on Earth. Isn't that like a crazy thought when you think about it? Like the Stone Ages and now is just a matter of knowledge.
Yeah, and people with knowledge, because there is a lot of knowledge out there that people don't tap into, they don't use. But it takes an individual that is so, I'm going to say a word that shouldn't even be said with this, psychotic in what they are trying to accomplish. There is nothing that is going to get in the way of them achieving this goal. If you look at a lot of tech inventors, a lot of them, think of what they saw when they were growing up, sci-fi, right? Watching shows where all of a sudden people were on video, like people showed up in a video while you were talking to them. Mm. I mean, don't we basically have that now?
Happening now, yep.
You know, so it's what you see, it's what you believe can happen, and it's your ability, like you said, the information is out there, but to just have this unwavering desire to see this goal. And luckily, in a society like this, where things are shared, we all get the benefit of that. And they get rewarded, but we get the benefit of that mentality and that approach. And you're right. I mean, I was talking to some guys the other day, some tech guys, and they were just talking about guys we work with, but about, you know, Mars or something like that. And they were just saying, you know, once you can get a robot to build for you, to build what you need, to build the infrastructure, you put it on Mars. That's what they're trying to work on now, because once they can do that, then they can go out there and build whatever it takes for then humans to come out there. And I'm just like, you know, like, what is going on now? But this is what they're thinking about. Maybe we see that in our lifetime. They're thinking about that right now.
So, okay. So that leads me to my next question, right? Does that mean that literally anything that is within the realm of human imagination, does that mean that eventually humans are going to do it? Like, literally, if you can think it, if you couldn't imagine it, that means there's no possibility of it existing. But if you can imagine it, that means eventually at some point, we're going to be able to get to a situation where we can actually do it. Because all these things that you're seeing now are things that 1,000 years ago would have been, you can't even comprehend, right? But imagination, some people imagined it. And then we got to this point now where we're doing things like this. So if you can imagine it, that means eventually people are going to be able to build it. Isn't that? I find those things crazy, dog. Like, crazy.
So when you're saying it, I'm like, in my head, I'm like, yeah, to a point. But is there a point? Is there with time?
No, there's no stop.
With time? I mean, it is frightening. I mean, that's one of the things that people are talking about with technology and AI, and where you see some of the hesitation and the fear, because the technology is growing exponentially fast. I mean, like, that, you got to watch the show Three Body Problem. Have you seen it? Watch it on Netflix.
Okay.
I'm even reading the book before the next season comes out. Watch it, okay? Because this is what it's about. And the technology is moving so fast. It's like, at what point do our ability to think and try to create, where does that harm us? You know, because it's interesting. No one knows the answer. It's frightening, but yet it's also, when you think about it, it's like, well, imagine the good it can do also, and how that impacts and changes everything. And I think this is why sports will always maintain a level of importance in society, because as we stretch the limitations as far as what technology can do, our love and I guess our natural inclination towards humanity is going to always be like, we are this fragile creature and we want to see what that creature can do, even though technology can do all these things.
Yeah.
What can we do? And that's always going to be celebrated no matter what happens. Like, nobody's want to see robots play NFL football. Like, that's not, that nobody's into that. But other things, and right now, man, I think we're at the cusp of some wild, wild west type stuff, bro. Because it's moving fast.
Yeah. Crazy.
Interesting, man.
Crazy.
You know what
I'm
thinking,
bro? You
want to
hear my second point, though?
Yeah,
let's do yours. No, let's do yours, then I go to mine.
Second point now.
No, mine is crazy because
I want to hear it. Because mine is stupid, too.
Okay.
Yours. Go ahead. Why is this pause? What is this pause?
Jason, you realize that I just finally understood the meaning of white privilege?
Okay. Give me more.
I didn't understand what white privilege meant until somebody broke it down.
Okay.
And they broke it down in such a way that it made sense to me. Because before, I didn't necessarily really believe in it.
No, you did. I've heard you say that before.
I didn't. Because I know so many white people who are struggling, right? And because I was like, no, I know a lot of poor white people. I know a lot of people who are white people who are doing worse off than me. White privilege. Well, if they were privileged, then you know that wouldn't be the case. And that was just like my thought process. And then the other day I saw somebody break it down, and I was like, oh, okay.
Let me hear what they said, because I want to see what was enlightened you to this discussion.
He said, and it was a guy, he was like, the idea that white people aren't struggling or suffering is false. That is 1,000% happening.
1,000%.
But what white privilege means is you are not struggling or suffering simply because of your skin color.
Yes.
Right. Now, he was like, there are 1,000 other reasons why you could be, you know, these things could be happening. It's the system, the government, all these same things that affect everybody, right? But the difference between, you know, white people and black people is, although we can be struggling equally, there is a percentage, there is a chance that some of the things that we don't get to accomplish is simply because we're black. Whereas with white people, that won't be the case. They won't get to accomplish things, or they won't get because of a variety of different reasons, right? And it's the same with black people. But we have this added layer that maybe you didn't get this job simply because of your skin color, where that doesn't exist. And I was like, oh, I see. I never thought about it like that before. That thought never really crossed my mind until I saw that guy break it down to me that way. And I was like, okay, I get it. I get it.
Really?
And it was interesting. Yeah. It was interesting.
Everything I've read that's made any sense, that's absolutely how it was defined. And people can manipulate it to mean other things because for whatever reason. I mean, wherever you are in the world, whatever situation you're in, when you are the majority, right? Whatever it is. There is an advantage to that because there's a familiarity with that. You know, if I was somewhere where, you know, most people were purple and, you know, I'm green, well, there it is. The advantage is being purple. And just being able to simplify that and understanding where you are, what I would say historically has been accepted, there's always an advantage to that, but you're right. That is one aspect of it. I mean, as two heterosexual men, we haven't had to face the challenges of being gay.
Mm.
You know, we haven't. That's not something we've had to face. And there are challenges to that. Thank God we're not disabled. You know, and things of that nature. So yeah, there's always discriminatory practices, and labeling them as discrimination based on where you are, what is deemed acceptable and not acceptable is just the conversation and the rationale behind that, and just making that clear as day does not mean that there can't be adverse situations that you have to face, even if you're the majority, to your point.
Yep. 100%, man. It threw me for a loop, man, to be fair, to be honest, because as you know, I spent a lot of time thinking. I just had never thought about it that way, because all I saw was, okay, black people are struggling. I know a lot of white people are struggling. All these things are happening. Now, the idea that you could be struggling simply because of your skin color, although I don't necessarily prescribe to that, there is a chance that that could be the reason. Whereas if you're white in Western civilization, you will be struggling and you will go through a bunch of hardships, and you have a lot of things that may happen to you, but it wouldn't necessarily be because of your skin color. It just... It was just interesting to me.
Is there something in your background of how you grew up? It's very different than a lot of people and what you've seen and what you've been around that made you kind of, I don't want to say struck, but like now the enlightenment of that definition, why before couldn't you see that? Was it like, if you just think of everything you've lived, what was one of the major reasons why you just, you couldn't accept that statement before it was clearly defined for you this way?
Because the patterns that I saw, because I've lived in all these different countries, and what I saw was there was a pattern that repeated itself in every country that I lived in, every single country that I lived in. And so, for instance, the same struggles that I saw in the UK were the same struggles I saw in Nigeria. And Nigeria was all black, right? It was all black people. And the same struggles I saw in Nigeria were the same struggles that I saw in America, right? And there's differences there. And so what I saw more was there was a class distinction. And the class distinction was what was causing a lot of the issues. So the same things that you would see happening in the UK or in Nigeria or in America, it was happening everywhere, across everywhere, but it would happen between the people who have and the people who have not, right? So that was my understanding of things. My understanding of things was, no, it had nothing to do with black, white, nothing. This was about the people who have and the people who don't have. And the reason why this manifests itself so much was because in most instances, the black people are the people who have not in every single place, right? And so that was my understanding of what was going on. Hey, we have to find a way to level the playing field by getting more or by having. And this is how I saw things playing out because, you know, even when the... When a lot of the situation was happening with police brutality and all of those things that have happened and traditionally happened in America, in my head I was like, well, this is normal in Nigeria, right? We had the whole protest movement called End SARS because police were brutalizing people.
That was wild.
Yeah. It was the exact same thing. So if I'm seeing the same things happening in different places, but it's happening in Nigeria, but it's all black people. Right. But it's happening in America, but it's white against black. I'd be like, well, OK, there has to be a difference, a common denominator there. And what I saw was it's the haves and the have nots. So that was my interpretation of things until it was explained to me in that way.
Please excuse my ignorance. You'll correct this for me. But I remember you teaching me a while ago and I was seeing this about, you know, whoever's in power, whether it's the Muslims or the Christians or whatever, you know, and how that kind of changes the dynamics of everything. So would you say that whoever's in power, then that other person becomes the minority and they're treated differently?
That's not the way it works over there. So for instance, you would have the... In the Northerners in power in Nigeria, right? But that doesn't necessarily mean that the people from the North are richer. In most instances, like a lot of them would be just super poor. You understand what I'm trying to say? So yeah. It has nothing to do with that. So what happens is the people who are in power accrue that power at the top and they keep it. And then what they do is they divide everybody at the bottom. They'd be like, hey, no. You're Igbo, you're Yoruba, you're Hausa, you're Fulani. No, we're supposed to have... But then the ones at the top, they're all collaborating with each other. And it's all Igbo, Hausa, Yoruba. They don't care. So, I went to school in Nigeria, in Lagos, right? And the school I went to is called Atlantic Hall, right? And in Atlantic Hall, this was where all the richest people send their kids to go to school. Right?
Right.
At this school. So in this school.
Makes sense why you were there.
Well, you know. So J-Bell, in this school, okay. Right? In this school, you had, you know, Igbo, Hausa, Yoruba, Fulani.
All the tribes,
Muslim, Christian, and we were like this. My best friend was a Muslim.
Right.
She was Yoruba, different tribe, different religion. She was my best friend. Like, all my friends were from different We didn't care. But the minute you leave the school,
right,
then you start to see, you start to hear about Igbo this, Yoruba this. In the school, nobody cared. So what happens is, excuse me, the wealthy, they know that all that is, everything is nonsense. It's all make believe, right? But they use that to actually subjugate and divide the people, you know, to make sure that they can keep on accruing this power for themselves. It manifests itself everywhere, J-Bell, in every single society. So those were the patterns that I recognized, and I was like, oh, this is all nonsense. But then when that was explained to me, it made sense.
No, but interesting you talked about those patterns, because when you know history, when you're taught it, when you understand human psychology, you're able to intertwine these things, current politics, what's happening. You can look at these patterns and you can make decisions where you realize what matters and what doesn't. But if there is a full-fledged assault, I've said it 1,000 times, we've talked about it on education and knowledge, you don't get that opportunity. But you said something very key. Those in a privileged position made sure they were in a spot where they had that knowledge, where they saw the world like that, where now you go out back out of that oasis and it's different. And I guess you have to ask yourself why. I think you and I probably believe the same reason why, because you want to control the masses. But it is very interesting. I think you say things a lot. Throughout the years, you would say things to me, and it's especially like a one-liner or a paragraph, and it'd be like shock value, like, oh my God, what are you talking about? You can't believe that. But when you break down why you think that, and whether I agree or disagree, there's always something in there where I'm like, well, this makes sense. Mm. Well, I can see why.
Yeah.
And, you know, we just talked about a team winning the World Cup and understanding their identity and doing what they had to do and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And you have to listen, understand, try to figure out the story and why and how people see things the way they do, because there is a learning lesson. And regardless, the level of respect for both individuals goes up, which allows you to achieve something great. And maybe you can put a robot on Mars. I'm just saying.
I like the way you ended that, J-Bell.
You like the way.
I like that. You know what I'm about to eat? I'm about to eat unagi don. You know what unagi don is? It's a bowl of rice, right? And then it's fried rice. And then they put like eel. It's like a caramelized eel that they put on top of it. You seen that?
I've had this.
Is it good?
It is. Dude, are you going to go and listen to me and go into the train station?
Yes.
Go into the train. Is so many restaurants, OC.
But is that unagi don?
There's going to be, I don't know. I just saw the pictures, bro. I just saw the pictures.
But no. There has to be unagi don there. If there's no unagi don.
You're going to see the picture. You're going to see the picture.
You're not answering my question, J-Bo. Is there
Oh my God. I'm telling you, you're going to see what you want to eat. They're going to have a picture of it on the restaurant for people don't know it.
Unagi don.
You're going to get everything you need out there. Some of the best food on the planet. Oh, I'm so jealous of you right
now. But can you say unagi don?
Unagi don.
That's my guy. I want to have some unagi don.
That was a little nervous. You know your boy.
Yeah.
And I've been on the West Coast too long, so I'm starting to revert back to my old ways, bro.
Oh, man. You look fresh, though, man. You look good, J-Bell.
Hey, man, my legs are tan. You know, when you got the rich man's tan, it's all good, man. You know what I'm saying? I've been wearing sandals and flip-flops. It's all good. I'm going to the desert tomorrow. Good time, man.
Enjoy yourself.
Hey, man, I appreciate you coming on. Have a good day, my brother. Hold it down for us in Japan. Be safe. Have every bit of food you want to. Get your workouts in the morning. OC, you deserve greatness, my brother. Be safe. Come back. That's it, sob, yeah. Ready for my mama, picture perfect, color Picasso. Emma and you're rolling like a lemon.